I have a little something I'd like to leave with you tonight. Amen. And I hope that it will challenge your heart, and I hope that it will challenge this entire assembly. Praise the Lord. I don't know how much that I can draw from this tonight, but if the Holy Ghost will help us, then He'll challenge our hearts. And so I'm not going to read in any particular place. I'm just going to get right in this. Thank God. Because I've got several areas we want to make reference to. And then we're from the beginning of Scripture. And then we're going to the end of the Word of God, to the book of Revelation. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven, it says here, singular, and the earth. And we notice as God began to perform the work of creation, the Bible said that God saw these things, that they were good. Everybody say good. Praise the Lord. And it was good. I find all through the story of creation that the Lord spoke of things as being good. And of course, whenever you start looking a little closer at that word good, it just basically means to be desired or to be approved of. So as God created the world in the beginning, He made what He made acceptable. It was good in His sight. Everything that God did, after it was all complete, verse number 25, it said that God saw that it was good. It was approved of Him. It was acceptable. It was something to be desired. And so we know that oftentimes the word good is used to express a measure of satisfaction or a measure of being pleasing. He did a good job. They sang good. They played good. Every now and then it might be said that He preached good. Amen. And, well, they worshiped good. In other words, what was done was acceptable. It was to be desired. It was approved. And we went on our way as God went on His way. And so all I noticed in the beginning of Scripture that everything God did and what he performed, all the work He performed, all the miracles or all the works of creation, God saw that it was good. And we go through Scripture, though, and as we near the end of the Word of God, and we get in the book of Revelation, then we find a different word that is being used to explain things as they would be in the end of time. Now, I do not have all the answers for you tonight. I don't have most of the answers for you. I might have some of the answers for you, but I'm not really concerned so much tonight about answering all of the questions about Revelation, but there's something I do want you to notice. And there is something I believe that we can see in these Scriptures in Revelation that might very well affect us where the end of time is concerned and our relationship with God is concerned. I would submit to you that good may have been acceptable in Genesis chapter number 1. In the creation of the world, good may have been acceptable. Good may have been something that was approved of. But when you get in the book of Revelation, the whole situation changes, and there's an entirely different explanation of how things are going to be in the end of time. Let me just go through several different verses of Scripture. Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 2, it said, He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great. Everybody say the great. Babylon the great is fallen. Is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And then in verse number 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city. Everybody say that great city. That great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And then in verse number 16, same chapter, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That's only one reference. I read three references, but one particular chapter that deals with Babylon, and it calls Babylon the great city. And we go through the book of Revelation. I'm going to just hit some highlights here and kind of get you in the vein of thought that I want you thinking in here tonight. But in Revelation, you don't find very much good in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, everything is great. It's great in Revelation. Revelation 2 and 22, he talks about great tribulation. Revelation 6 and 4, he talks about a great sword. In Revelation 6 and 12, he speaks about a great earthquake. 6 and 17, he tells us about the great day of his wrath. Chapter 8, verse 8, a great mountain burning with fire. Verse number 10, a great star from heaven. Revelation 9 and 2, a great furnace. 11 and 11, he talks about great fear. 11 and 19, great hail. And 12 and 1, he speaks of a great wonder. Revelation 12 and 9, the great dragon. 16 and 9, he speaks about great heat. And then 17 and 1, he talks about the great whore. And then Revelation 17 and 5, Babylon the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, that's not all the times that the word great is used. The definition of the word great is what I want you to pay attention to for a few moments. The definition of the word great is of an extent or amount or intensity considerably above the normal or the average. So we could talk about the extent of something that is considerably above the normal or the average, or the amount of something that is above the normal. But the word that I latched on to tonight is the word intensity. Intensity that is considerably above the normal or average. I think that it is worth our time to realize that John saw something about the end time. John recognized by the visions that he had. I cannot give you all of the explanations and the details of the visions, but there's some things I can tell you that he saw about the end time. And one of the things that he keeps using again and again and again is that in every one of these scriptures I have read so far, he describes something that is intensity considerably above the normal or the average. What I am telling you tonight is that everything that we see happening in our world today is in intensity. intensity above just the normal, considerably above just the average. You and I have got to realize that as we move into these last of the last days, that we are not going to encounter a casual devil or spirits of our times that are just going to more or less show their face and wiggle their tongue at you and put their fingers in their ears and say la 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 in your face. I'm telling you that we are facing considerably more intensity of spiritual resistance than we ever have in the history of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. It wouldn't just be a normal furnace, but he speaks of a furnace that is considerably in intensity above the normal or the average. Earthquakes, amen, on the Richter scale of the greatest magnitude that man has ever known. Wrath that will be more than just a passing anger, but it will be a wrath that will be considerably more. What I want to convey to all of us is that what you feel in the spirit as you pray, as you endeavor to live for God, as you endeavor to go to church and to do what God has ordained for you to do and live out the purpose of God in your life, understand that John saw our day. John saw the time in which we are living. John saw the hour that we are partaking of. And he said, it's not just going to be a normal hour. It will not be that which is just average. But the intensity of that hour is going to be above average. It is going to be above the normal. Somebody say amen. Chapter 16 and 18. John said, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. That is proof of what I'm trying to convey to you here tonight. John said, I saw an earthquake that was so intense that it's never been seen like that before. It was a great earthquake. It wasn't just an average one, number 5 on the Richter scale. It was not one that was just a normal earthquake, but it was in intensity considerably above the average. John saw some stuff. 12 and 12. He said, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. He said, the enemy that's coming against you in the end time, he said, I'm telling you now, the intensity of his wrath will be considerably above the normal. It will be considerably above the average. What are you preaching, Pastor? I'm trying to draw you a picture before I get to what I really want to talk about. I want you to know, friend, we are not going to encounter some namby-pamby spirits, some wimpy devils that are going to roll over and play dead because we come have church, because we worship, because we pray. The Bible said he's going to come down and he's going to have a wrath that exceeds the normal. My Lord. Revelations 11 and 17. He said, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was, and you are to come, because you have taken to thee thy great power, and you have rain. Hallelujah. Now John is starting to see something a little different. John is starting not just to see a devil, amen, an adversary, the enemy come against the people of God with great wrath. Not only the adversary that's going to show wrath that is intensely more than just the normal or just the average, but he says, I begin to see one in the glory world. I saw the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to come, because you have taken to you your great power. I've come to tell you tonight that no matter what the end time throws at us, we serve a God who is an intensely greater God than any power, than any spirit, than any devil. Anybody believe this tonight? Our God is the one who is. Our God is the one who was. Our God is the one who is to come. And he's still the Almighty. He has and he possesses all of the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so John writes about the Lord. Amen. And he is, you know, the thing I like when I read all of this, and there are those that would read the book of Revelation and their heart fails them. They read their book of Revelation and fear grips their spirit. There are those that read the book of Revelation and worry begins to consume them because they get worried about the end time. And you read about all of these great things that are going to happen. And it's not great in the sense of being wonderful, but great in the sense that it's going to be an hour unlike anything we've ever seen. And it's getting there. Praise the Lord. Getting there. We were standing in line at Piccadilly on Sunday. Went to the geriatric cafe again. Getting used to being there. So we were standing in line and we had a couple of boys with us. And had a woman, an older lady that came, well, I don't know, she may have been my age for all I know. I see all these folks that look, you know, I think they're older than me, and then I begin to realize maybe I'm not as much, you know, the age difference may not be that much. But she commented on the boys, I think it was Trenton and Miles that were with us, and she said, I just want to compliment you on your boys. I said, okay. Hallelujah. I mean, anytime anybody looks at me and looks at them boys and think they're mine, amen, I pat them on the back. Hallelujah, I like you. And so they said, we want to compliment you on your boys. They said, they're dressed so nice. I said, it's just so nice to see young people and children that go to church. And that's obvious where y'all come from. Go to church looking nice. This woman said, I am appalled at how young people come to church nowadays. I am absolutely appalled at their apparel and the way they look. She said, my husband, we were over there watching you all and while you were eating. And so we commented about how nice those young men look and how it's obvious that somebody's taking the time to raise them properly and all of that. And I said, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I said, these are my grandsons. And I said, their parents are doing a good job raising them. And so it's kind of like, Tim the other day said, so they were sitting at the table eating somewhere, and someone came over and commented about how that they had been watching them eat and how that their boys were so well behaved and everything was so nice. They just did such a good job. And I think he looked at them and said, have you been watching this the whole time? Amen. Wasn't this way the whole meal, but hallelujah. But I said to this lady, I said, well, I said, you know, I said, I pastor a church here, and I said, I was at a funeral here. In fact, I said, I officiated a funeral here in Ocala not very long ago. And I said, I was appalled because I said, when I looked out on the crowd, there was not one individual in the crowd that came, and it was a pretty good sized crowd, that came with any kind of dress clothes on. I said the ladies came in with short shorts, with halter tops, with muscle shirts on the men. I said they came in with flip-flops on. I said, I looked out across the crowd to see if I could find anybody that considered at any point in time in life that there was a sacred moment that ought to have some respect. And of course, this lady, in the course of our conversation, she made the statement over the shoulder of someone in between the two of us. She said, well, I just hope that things will change and it'll get better. The man in front of her said, don't count on it. And I'm telling you, friend, everywhere that we live, every place that we're in, the people we're in contact with, they know that we live in troublesome hours. And they know that the deterioration of our society and the world at large, for that matter, is rapidly going downhill. Amen. In fact, I've already brought this out to you here just a few weeks ago when I came back from Ethiopia. They told me as we were driving down through the city of Addis Ababa, they said, Brother Bass, they said, there was 10 years ago, 10 years, no longer than 10 years ago, you didn't even see a woman in all of Ethiopia that lived in Ethiopia that was a native that wore a pair of slacks. So they always wore dresses or their robes that they wore. She said that they told me, they said, until about 10 years ago when Hollywood began to invade our country and television became a prominent thing that some in the major cities began to have access to, or the beaming in by satellite of the various programming. They said from that point we have seen a deterioration. They said, now you get out in the bush, you get out in the where that they don't have access to it, you'll still see them in the native apparel, women looking like women and men like men. But they said in the cities, this is what we are now encountering because of the influence of Hollywood. I'm telling you, church, we are not living in good days. And the intensity of the enemy coming against the church for us to back up, for us to give in, for us to surrender what we are and who we are, the intensity of that is above normal. It's above average. We are fighting for the very soul of the holiness church.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're battling it. Fighting it as never before. Praise the Lord. Because we are in an hour where the enemy is heating up his wrath.
Right.
Are you with me? We are living in a time of great effort by the enemy to destroy. Praise the Lord. What we have to decide is which intensity are we going to let affect us? Now I'm getting to something, so hang on. I'm not there yet. Praise the Lord, but I'm getting there. What spirit are we going to allow to affect us? That intense, overwhelming power of hell that's wanting to choke out the life of your relationship with God. Your walk with God, your love for God, your passion for the things of God, the spirit within you that makes you want to walk and talk with the Lord. Amen. Will you yield to that? Or will we say, you know, God, you are greater than the spirit of this world. Amen. And for every ounce of effort the enemy can put against us, there is an equal balance or an overbalance, amen, of the power and the greatness and the glory of God that can lift us up above these spirits and give us the strength we need to be what God's called us, to be what God has ordained for us to be. John said, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, Because you are, and you were, and you are to come. And you have taken your great power. And you have reigned. In other words, God's not been dethroned.
Right.
And God is not going to be dethroned. Can I tell you something? When all this is over with, he'll be on the throne. Can I hear a witness? I said, when everything's over with, God will be on the throne. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You know what the question is tonight? The question is, will we be bowing before him at the throne? Or will we be burning in the flames of eternal hell? I'll tell you where I plan to be. Amen. Paul said that I have a crown laid up for me. And not only for me, but for all of those that love his appearing. And John said, I saw a crowd coming and they were taking their crowns and casting them at his feet. I don't know about you, friend, but I refuse to let this intense spirit tear me down, destroy me, back me up. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I got a great God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I intend to be casting the crown at his feet. I intend to be crying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Amen. He said in Revelation 19, 6 and 17, he said, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. He said, I heard the voice of a great multitude. And that great multitude was crying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Now trust me when I tell you that the adversary is going to do everything he can to throw everything he can at the church. And he's going to do it with an intensity that is considerably above normal. Considerably above average. Praise the Lord. You want to know sometime what you're fighting against? It's the enemy that's resisting. He's throwing everything he can. John, listen, hold on just for a few more moments. I'm not going to hold you a long time tonight, but I want to put this in the heart of this church tonight because I believe that we're at the place, if we got a hold of this, we would realize what God is wanting to do with the church in the end time. Amen. It does not matter when I read from Revelation chapter 2, as I already have here tonight, all the way down through chapter 21 of Revelation. I find one thing after another, great tribulation, great sword, great earthquake, great wrath, great burning, a great mountain, great star, great furnace, a great fear, a great hell. All of these things, when I read about all these great things, if you're not careful, you will get overwhelmed by the intensity of what you see. Is going to happen in the end time. Until you stand back and get your eyes a little higher. Because John saw something besides all these other great things. He saw a great God. And up there with that great God, he saw a great multitude. Come on now. He saw a multitude that was not willing to just be good. They were great. He defined them as a great multitude. This is the part I like. It's where I'm trying to get to right here. Revelation 21 and verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. Does anybody know who that great city was? Does anybody know who holy Jerusalem is? Amen. I personally am persuaded it happens to be the church. Huh? Amen. That happens to be the church. And he said, I went away in the spirit. I was carried away and I went to that great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He showed me that, you know what he saw? He didn't see a weak, anemic church. He did not see a church with no power and no glory and no anointing and no touch of God. Oh, glory to God. He didn't see a church that was losing the battle. He didn't see a church that was losing the fight. He didn't see a church that was losing the war. He didn't see a church that was when I was going down for the last time. But he saw a great church that was equal to the intensity of the hour, equal to anything the devil could throw at it. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I want to tell you what we're going to be in the end time. We're not going to be some church throwing in the towel and surrendering to the powers of hell. Oh, no. Oh, no. We won't be a church that's lost her vision, that's lost her passion, that's lost her burden, that's lost her desire, that's lost her will. Oh, no, friend. We're going to be a church that's described in the same terms that everything else in Revelation is described.
Amen.
A church with an intensity that is considerably above the normal or the average. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy would like for us to think that we don't have what it takes. I'm telling you, he likes anybody that's endeavoring to live for God. I don't care if they're in this church or any other church. It doesn't matter where it's at. He would like them to think you don't have what it takes. You don't have the ability. I'm submitting to you tonight. John saw something in the end time about the church. He saw something about the church in the end time. He said, I'm going to tell you what I saw about the church. It was great. It wasn't some weak church. It wasn't some church that was just struggling to try to make it in. Hallelujah. I'm challenging us tonight to understand that the will of God is that we match everything the devil throws at us. That we become equal to anything that he puts in our path. It does not matter if he brings great wrath. We can meet it with great joy. Amen. If he brings great fear, we can meet it with great faith. If he brings great sorrow, we can meet it with a great and a mighty joy. A shout of the glory of God. If he brings disappointment and discouragement, we can meet it with great encouragement. If he brings weakness, we can meet it with great strength. I am telling you, you hear me tonight, when I tell you I refuse to back up and surrender the ground of great to the devil. My God, I said I refuse to surrender the ground of the great to the devil. The great ground is where the church is supposed to be standing. Amen. Amen. We must strive for an intensity that is considerably above the normal. I know I've said that lots of times tonight. I'm not done saying it. But we've got to strive for an intensity. Praise the Lord. That when we come to the house of worship, we don't just casually begin to praise Him. Oh, glory to God. Our God's a great God. To keep up with a great God, you've got to get intense. You've got to have an intensity about you. Praise the Lord. I believe our worship ought to be in intensity considerably above normal. Considerably above average. Well, praise the Lord. Instead of leaving the house to worship and say, well, we had good church tonight, we need to be leaving saying we had great church. Because it wasn't just good church. It wasn't just church to be desired, a church that was approved of, a church that was acceptable, but it was church that had a level of intensity. Amen. The things begin to happen. The power of God begin to operate. Souls begin to get the Holy Ghost. Like what happened around here Sunday night. Dear Lord, you talk about an intense spirit of worship that began to fill this house. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you we don't have it. I'm telling you that this is what is going to match everything that the enemy brings against us. What we had Sunday night around here is what's going to cause us to rise above and claim the ground of great rather than concede it to the powers of hell. Amen. Brother Enzi preached at our conference, I guess it was year before last or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, three conferences ago, that the enemy of great is good. Amen. The enemy of great is good. In other words, when we learn how to just accept good, it becomes the enemy of us becoming great. When we learn how to just sit back and take it easy. Oh, Lord. God, let our worship have an intensity that's considerably above average. Lord, when we come to a prayer meeting, that our prayer meetings are not just casual prayers going through the rote, saying the same things over and over again, but our prayers begin to have an intensity to them. I was talking with someone this week, and they related to me how that they'd been doing some studying, and they said that they found that the word O, the letter O, the one letter, is like 1,100 times in the Word of God. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. And it's over and over again, all through Scripture, just that one little letter O. And it's talking about how, we get to talking about how that it is a word of intensity. It is a word of strength. It is a word whereby when someone said it, it wasn't like, oh, Lord, it was, oh, Lord, oh, God. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. We need to get some oh back in our prayers. Some oh back in our worship. Some oh back in everything we do where God is concerned. Let there be an intention. You know what? When we're praying, the devil ought to know we're praying. The powers of hell ought to tremble because there's some apostolics on their knees that have got some intensity to their prayer. They're not just going through the motions. They're not just going through rote. They're not just doing it mechanically. But there's a feeling there. There's a passion there. There's a cry there. There's a hunger there that it reaches. Yes. Amen. I'm preaching something about this along the line, these lines Sunday morning. About being generous with God. And that our worship to the Lord, there ought to be a generosity in our worship. In other words, giving more. Worshiping more. Getting above the average. What I'm trying to show you tonight, church, is There's a key for the church in the last day. We can let fear get a hold of our heart because of the things coming upon this world. We can let fear grip our spirit because of what we see happening in our generation. You know what we can do? We can say, wait a minute, there's a description of the church in Revelation that says the church is going to be great. It's going to be a great city. Hallelujah. It's going to be a holy Jerusalem. She's going to be great in power, but she's also going to be holy in her actions and her lifestyle. Can I hear a witness? She's going to be descending out of heaven from God. What we're looking at here is a church that's been in the presence of the Lord. Getting near to Him. Drawing close to Him. Amen. You know, there's a key here. Call it secret. Call it whatever you want to call it. But there is a distinct key here. That when you go all the way through the book of Revelation, and you see all these things defined as being great, that they're going to be more than normal. And we get down to where he started talking about the church, the bride of Christ. And he calls her great. It tells us something. If we're going to match the spirit of the times that we're living in and withstand the powers of hell, we must be great. We must be intense. There must be an intensity in us. Oh, God, I just can't wait to get to church. Can't wait to get to the house of worship. Can't wait to get with the saints of God. Hey, you know what? If you make it to heaven, you're going to have to live for the rest of eternity with us. So you ought to enjoy being with us while you're down here. Hallelujah. I mean, you might be right next door to me. I don't know. You may have to live right next door for all of eternity. Amen. I might have to live next door to you. Praise God. So we need to love one another with an intense love above normal. The devil ought not to be able to put a wedge between any of us. He ought not to be able to drive any wedge between any of us because of the intense love that we have for one another. Come on, saints. Amen. Folks ought to say, you know what? There's one thing I can tell you about them folks down there at Life Tabernacle. They love each other. And they love people. When folks come, they love them. They show they love them. Everything. I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through every detailed thing I could go through and point out everything. I think you can fill in some blanks tonight. I think you yourself could say, you know what? This thing will work. If we get a hold of this, and I'm telling you, we've had tremendous worship. Lord, what a service Sunday night. Just the presence of God. And people just keep right on worshiping and magnifying the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost start falling. People getting the Holy Ghost and God doing great things in the house. That's what it's all about. The way that we push the powers of hell back, the way we resist these spirits that rise up against the church is we have to be just as great as those spirits and the times that we're living in. And that's what he said the church was going to be. So I'll tell you what. If that's what the church is going to be, that it's going to be coming down from God out of heaven. It's already going back to heaven. But if that's the kind of church it's going to be, then it came back, folks. Church can't decide where it wants to be. Heaven or earth. But the fact is that if that's the kind of church it's going to be, that means we have to be that to be in that church. We're going to have a level of intensity that is considerably above average to be in that church because it's called a great church. So we can't afford to have casual church around here. We can't afford to have weak church. We can't afford to have good church. We got to have great church. Somebody say great church. Somebody say great church. That means that we have got to have church that is above average. Good preacher friend of mine one time had a man walk up to him. I think it was Brother Larry Booker. He said, Brother Booker, he said, I want to know what kind of church you have. He said, well, he said, we have a good church. He said, no, he said, that's not good enough. He said, of course, he used the term good. I'm only making a point by this. But the man said, I want to know, do you have a good church? In other words, there was some emphasis placed upon it. Not just a good church. Not just a casual. He said, I want to know, do y'all have good church? Well, it kind of reminds me of a number of years ago. Lord, I'll never forget that night because I can still look back. I can see Brother Morgan back there against that wall. He is so drunk in the Holy Ghost, he couldn't even stand up. I'm telling you, he couldn't even stand up. He got drunk that night. In fact, I think his wife was back there with him. I remember right. Y'all was drunk together. So we had a fellow here that was demonstrating a Hammond organ, and so he's sitting on the front pew. In fact, right about here where Sister Tyndale's sitting. And he said, Pastor, he said, his name was Adrian Rogers. And he's a black Church of God in Christ preacher from up in Memphis. He said, is anybody around here in Ocala tonight having church? I said, why, sure. We were in revival right then with Brother Keith Smith. Is it Keith? Keith Smith? From Charlotte, North Carolina? Is that his first name? Yes. Blonde haired guy? Yeah. I had two or three Smiths of mine here. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, right here. He said, no, no, no. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, I want to know where they're having church. I said, right here. He said, uh-uh. He said, you white boys don't know how to have church. I said, oh, yeah. I said, we're going to have church here tonight. I said, if you hang around, you'll find out. We've been having tremendous revival. And so that night, I just told the church, I said, we got ready to take up the offering. I said, now, we've got a fella here that demonstrated the organ today. I said, we're going to let him play the organ while we receive our offering. Well, you, the folks that were here that night, you know. 2 hours later, that organ had screamed for 2 hours. I'm telling you, the power of God fell in this place. And people were running, they were shouting, they were so intoxicated, people were falling out in the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was incredible. So he finally shut the organ down. I walked up to him. I said, well, Adrian, did we have church tonight? He said, y'all know how to have church. Amen. Y'all know how to have church. I said, I told you. So I'm just telling you that the world needs to know that there's an intensity. The church world needs to know there's an intensity. Amen. I've had folks that have come here and they have said to me, they've said, Pastor, I have been all over this entire county. I've been in every charismatic church. I've been in every spirit-filled, quote-unquote, church in this county. He said, I've visited every last one of them. He said, there's more power in this place than any other charismatic church or any charismatic, not other charismatic, because we're not charismatic, but anyway, any charismatic church in this entire county. Amen. Amen. Had one man come here one night, one family come one night and said, you know, said, we've been down to Benny Hinn's several times. Said, Benny Hinn ain't got nothing compared to what's in this place. I know this is going out over the internet, but tell them I said so. Hallelujah. And what I'm trying to convey is that's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we have to have. There's got to be a power in the church that matches or exceeds, if you please, everything that is in this world. Whether it be devils or whether it be false religious spirits, there's got to be a power that people recognize the greatness of it. Not us. us. It's not us that we're bragging about. It's the God we serve. Amen. And I'm trying to convey that if we are going to match everything great in the book of Revelation in the end time, we've got to be a great church. Let's stand. We've got to have great worship. We've got to have great prayer. We've got to have great consecration, great dedication and devotion to God, great love one for another, great passion for the things of God, a great burden for souls. You still with me?
Amen.
Amen. There's got to be a greatness that matches what's in the end time. Because John said that's what I saw about the church. She's a great church. Hallelujah. I believe that's what God is doing right here among us. Oh, hallelujah. I said that's what God is doing right here among us. Let's thank God for His great spirit. Come on, don't.